Dancing in the Moonlight there from Thin Lizzy, and today would have been Phil Lynott's 65th birthday. Roisin Dwyer is with me now in studio to remind us about his life and career. Roisin, before we get into the music as such then, maybe you'd remind us of what Phil Lynott's life was like before Thin Lizzy.
Well, Phil was born this day 65 years ago in West Bromwich to Philomena Lynott, who raised him for the first few years in Manchester in the United Kingdom before sending him home to her mother in Crumlin, where he was raised in a busy household filled with his aunts and uncles. And he was very popular child in school, and he had a love of music from an early age. He grew up on his uncle's record collections, and when he was a young teenager, he joined a local band called the Black Eagles. He was their front man and was extremely popular with the young girls in the area. Even at that age, he was a very charismatic performer, albeit quite shy. He went on to other outfits then, like Kama Sutra. He was front man in Skid Row, the band that a lot of people will know, featuring Brush Shields and Noel Bridgman and a very young Gary Moore. After he left them, his departing gift from Brush Shields was lessons in how to learn to play the bass guitar. Then he went on to a band called Orphanage, which featured a young drummer also from Crumlin called Brian Downey, that would be his lifelong companion in Thin Lizzy. So that little summation brings us up to 1969, when two musicians from Belfast, Eric Bell and Eric Rickson, attended an Orphanage gig one night and approached Phil and Brian after, and they decided to do some rehearsals, and Thin Lizzy was born from that night.
Now, you say rather contentiously that Phil Lynott was Ireland's first real rock star. Why do you think that?
I think that because before Thin Lizzy, there wasn't, like, we had Rory Gallagher's Taste and Van Morrison's Them. It was pretty show band-tastic in Ireland before Thin Lizzy. I mean, you did have great beat groups like Granny's Intentions and that. But I think Phil can definitely claim the title of being our first rock star because he embodied all those traits that you think of when you think of a rock star. He had the glamour, he had the image, the charisma, and he was an extremely talented songwriter, gifted musician. And no one had had the kind of success that Phil had with Thin Lizzy before his time, and to achieve that level of global success and wave the Irish flag with pride as he did. I think it's wonderful to call him our first rock star.
He was, you know, gorgeous and handsome, and as you said, the girls certainly swooned for him. But for him growing up, I mean, there you had this young black boy from England originally in a sea of white faces. How did he describe that sort of side to his life growing up? Did it affect him as an artist? Did it have any consequences on him at all?
Philip famously said he never realised he was black until later in his life. You know, he was so embraced by the local community that it just wasn't an issue for him. He didn't see his colour as an issue. Now, some people would say that later in his career in the 80s, when he formed the Philip Lynott Band, sort of race had become an issue for him at that point. But I think he seems to have had a blissfully happy childhood in Crumlin, and just his race was not an issue for him.
Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago that he wore his Irishness as such a badge of pride. That's a very serious statement you make about him, because he really lived it, didn't he?
He loved it. And I think it was Bob Geldof that talks beautifully about that, because obviously they were friends, and how he wore it, you know, with a badge. It was a badge of honour to him, and woe betide anyone that called Thin Lizzy a British rock band. But he was fiercely proud of his Irish heritage, and that shows in his songs. So many of his songs draw on, you know, themes of Celtic mythology. In the early material, he name checks, like he wrote a song to Dublin. He name checks places like Clontarf Castle and, you know, the Stella Cinema in Rathmines even. Throughout all his songwriting, there were constant references to Ireland.
Well, we're going to take a listen to one of his tracks there. This is Whiskey in the Jar. You might just introduce it for us, Roisin.
Whiskey in the Jar. Well, this is the song that made them, really. And this song, curiously enough, nearly wasn't released because it was meant to be the B-side with the song that is the B-side to Whiskey in the Jar. Black Boys in the Corner was meant to be the A-side. But someone in their wisdom, I think it might have been their first manager, Ted Carroll, said, actually, that Whiskey in the Jar song is very catchy. And it became the single.
So let's talk about the music as such. I mean, what is their musical legacy, or what made them stand out as a band?
They stood out as a band because, like, over the duration of their career from 1969 to 1983, they released 13 studio albums, which is quite an astounding amount of material. But those albums spanned so many different genres, you know, from psychedelia to the heavier later albums. And Philip's songwriting was just so outstanding. And it was that marriage of compelling songwriting with just these catchy magnetic harmonies and melodies, and brilliant, like, when you look at the guitarists that went through Thin Lizzy, there were a lot of them. You know, you had the likes of Eric Bell and Gary Moore, Scott Gorham, Brian Downey. They're all phenomenally talented guitarists. That was one thing. Phil was extremely talented himself, but he knew how to spot the right people to have in his band.
Now, he was a poet as well as a songwriter, and he published some poetry.
Yes, he did. He published two books of poetry, A Song for While I'm Away and Philip. Now, these were primarily his lyrics, but some other material as well. But Philip had a huge interest in poetry. Like, in the late 60s, he would attend, there was a poetry group called Tara Telephone, which comprised Eamon Carr from the Horselips and Peter Fallon, brother of BP. And Philip used to attend those readings, and very shyly he did take part in a few himself. But, you know, the craft of songwriting was hugely important to him. He carried copybooks with him constantly on the road. He was jotting down notes. And, I mean, he saw himself as a poet, and he took his songwriting extremely seriously.
What kind of influence do you think he's had on bands nowadays? You know, what kind of legacy has he left?
I think he has left, well, he had an amazing work ethic, and he also drew from, like, that capacity to cross different genres and the ability to write extremely catchy songs. And
which ones stand out maybe for you? I mean, there are two or three that just, you know, you can name check that you just think are wonderful examples of him writing, you know, at the height of his powers, just the kind of lyricism.
I think The Boys Are Back in Town is an extreme, like, it just has, if there's a top five things that songs should contain, you know, the hook, the chorus, the, you know, the anthemic aspect, I think that song, there's so many Thin Lizzy songs. I think Still In Love With You is an absolutely beautiful ballad. The songs he wrote for his daughters are amazingly romantic. And then you have, you know, the out and out rockers are really good fun, like Emerald and Massacre. I just think the whole canon of work is impeccable.
You really are a fan.
Yes, an uber fan.
Now, sadly, as we know, he died in 1986 from complications following a heart attack. He'd had issues with alcohol, with drug addiction. What do you think his legacy is now then, as a man all these years later?
I think his astounding body of work. And I think Philip was extremely proud of being Irish. And I know that sounds quite trite. You know, he gives us a reason to be proud, but he does. And I think that's very visible. If you watch the Old Town video, for example, him walking through the streets of Dublin and peering out.
It's beautiful footage, actually.
Yes, peering out from the Halfpenny Bridge. You know, even, you know, he's walking along Grafton Street, twirls a woman around, and you can see the people, the looks in their faces. You know, there's Phil. You know, he was one of us. And I think we claim him as our own. And, you know, I think everyone in Ireland can relate to Philip because he was so proud of his Irishness.
And it's very hard to discuss him and not mention his mother, who's done such extraordinary work in keeping his memory alive.
Yes.
How do you think Ireland remembers him? And is it appropriate? Do we give him enough public credit, do you think?
I think we remember him as a beloved son who represented us so well and drew on our history and our past. And that was so important to him. And this country was so important to him. And he brought those together to create these fantastic songs that are his wonderful legacy to us.
Róisín Dwyer has been talking to us there about Phil Lynott, who would have been 65 today. And we're going to end this conversation on another song. This is Sarah that Róisín mentioned a few minutes ago, a song that Phil wrote for his daughter. Sarah there from Phil Lynott, who would have been 65 today.